Thank you to everyone. Turn with me, if you would, back to John 14. John 14. Let's read the first 6 verses together. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whither I go, you know, and the way you know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Now, I hope that this message is a help in answering the question, the head-scratching question of, what must I do to be saved? And I hope that this message is a help in answering the question, who should I believe? This preacher says this. That preacher says that. We all know it's so. This denomination says one thing. That denomination says an entirely different thing. Who should I believe? Who should I trust? I hope this message is a help in answering the questions. What must I do to be saved? Who should I believe? And how can I know if I'm a child of God? How can I know if I belong to Him? Let's read these verses again, all right? Verse 1, He said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whither I go, you know, and the way you know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Now here's the answer to all three of those critical questions. All right, well, let's just say it. And then we'll explain it with the Word of God. Verse 6, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. He said, I am the way. What must I do to be saved? How can I be saved? Our Lord said, I am the way. I am the way. Verse 6, He said, I am the truth. Who should I believe? Who should I believe? This one saying this. That one saying that. I got this man saying this, and I've got that man saying that. How can I know who's right? Who should I believe? Our Lord said, I am the truth. And He said, I am the life. How can I know if I'm a child of God? How can I know if I'm really one of His followers? Really one of His disciples? How can I know if I have been born again? Our Lord said, marvel not that I say unto you, you must be born again. We must be quickened. You'll hear people say all the time, you'll hear people say this all the time, I'm a born again Christian. How do you know? How do you know? How can we know that we have been born again? How can we know in this dead flesh that we live in, that struggles so much to even just worship God and just pray to God? And how can we know that we've been born again? Our Lord said, I am the life. I am the life. He said, no man comes to the Father but by me. I'm the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life. Now, let's explain those three things with and through the Word of God. What does our Lord mean when He says, I am the way? What does He mean when He says that? Turn with me over to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew 7, verse 21. Our Lord said, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Now, let me ask this question. What is the will of the Father that is in heaven? What is His will? Here's the answer. Pick a page. Just pick a page. Pick a law. Pick a commandment. The will and the demand of the Father is absolute holy perfection. Who's going to enter into the glorious heaven with God? Absolute holy perfection. He that had clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. Absolute holy perfection. That's not what mankind is. We all know that. That is not what mankind is. And mankind is not going to be allowed into the glory of heaven just because He says, Lord, Lord. In order to be allowed in, that man or woman has to be absolute holy perfection. Verse 22, He said, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils? And in thy name done many wonderful works? They said, we preached. We cast out devils. And we did mission work. Humanitarian efforts. That's what we really ought to call it, which I'm all for humanitarian efforts. That's what they are. Now, why did they do that? Let's get to the heart of it. Why did they preach? And why did they cast out devils? And why did they do mission work, humanitarian works? It's because they thought that was the way. That's the reason why. That's the whole reason why they thought that was the way. They thought if a man or a woman wants to go to heaven, he or she has to become religious. You have to get in church and you have to become religious. He or she has to cast out all sin if you want to be saved and you want to go to heaven. This is what people naturally think. You got to stop sinning. Get back in church. Get religious. Stop sinning. And he or she has to do works that are pleasing to God. Our Lord said right here, that is not the way. That's not the way. That's a shocking thing to realize. That's not the way. Verse 23, he said, then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. He said, all that is in the flesh, for the glory of the flesh, is sin. He said, what you thought was the way was actually sin against me. That's just amazing. The pride in thinking that we can do what only God can do for us is sin against Him. Just the arrogance and the pride in thinking. Absolute holy perfection? Sure, I can accomplish that. What arrogance? The Apostle Paul said over and over again, you've heard this many times, he said, mortify the deeds of the flesh. People think that means stop sinning. That's not what it means. It does not mean kill your own works. Paul was not talking about killing the works of sin. He couldn't even kill the works of his own sin. Read Romans 7. 1 Timothy 1. He talking about the works of righteousness. That's what he's talking about. Trying to perform the works of righteousness. Man thinks he's doing that. And with that thought, man goes to meet God in his own works, thinking this is the way. I'm bringing the way. Here it is. I have the way. That's not the way. Man's anything is not the way. Christ said, I am the way. And what that means is, speaking in his voice, my work is the way. His work is the way. His righteousness is the way, not ours, but his. And why is that? It's because only he and only his work is absolute holy perfection before God. That's the reason why. If we wonder, why does it have to be his work alone? It's because only his work is absolute holy perfection before God. He is the only one, and his work is the only thing that God will actually accept. And his blood, his work is the only thing God will accept. And his blood is the only thing that will actually put away our sin. The only thing. There is only one way. Christ Jesus, the man. Christ Jesus, the Lord. He said, I am the way. His death, his suffering, everything he endured, everything he did. He said, I am the way. Turn to Galatians chapter 2 with me. Galatians chapter 2. There are so many scriptures that we could turn to that say this very thing. This is so many places like this. But Galatians 2 verse 16, it says, knowing that a man is not justified. Justified means right with God. You know, people say, well, he's right with God. Well, this says, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law. The law is the Bible. If we really want to enter into the plain, simple truth of what's being said, A man is not justified by obeying the Bible. Should we obey the Bible? Sure we should. Shall we sin that grace may abound? Paul said, God forbid. But he said, let's know that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of, and that's an important word, of Jesus Christ. That means it's his. It comes from him. It's performed by him. It's the faith of Jesus Christ. It says, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. None. Only by looking to Christ. Only by believing on Christ. Look at Galatians chapter 3, verse 11. It says, but that no man is justified by the law. No man's justified by doing the law in the sight of God. It is evident. For the just shall live by faith. Looking to Christ, believing on Christ. When you get to the heart of it, what does that mean? Verse 13 says that means we didn't justify ourselves. It means Christ did. It means we believe that we cannot justify ourselves. Only Christ can. He must do it. Verse 13 says, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. So us doing it is not the way. Christ doing it is the way. And he said, it's done. He said, Father, I finished the work that you gave me to do. It's done. All right. Well, what does this mean for us? How does this translate to us? Hebrews 4 says, this means that we can rest from all of our labors as God has from his. That's so restful when God allows us to do that. Truly rest from all of our labors as God has from his. If Christ said it's done, trust him. Trust him. You know, I know you do. I talk with you about these things, but we talk to each other just about how, oh, why do I still see what I see in myself? Why do I still do what I do? This is what the Apostle Paul said. Why is there still so much? What am I truly a child of God? Is rest from all your works as God has from his. He said, it's finished. Don't try to do again what Christ has already done. It's finished. That's what it is to believe on Christ and to look to Christ and to rest in the finished work of Christ. It truly is to rest in him. It's to believe he is the way. Not me, him. Not my work, his. Period. All right, now it won't take any time at all to answer the second question. And this one's going to be quick. Who should I believe? All right, this one says this. And that one says that. Who should I believe? Turn with me over to Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3. I want to read a few words right here. And the first one is the fourth word of the fourth verse. All right. Find the fourth word of the fourth word. It says, let. Let God be true, but every man a liar. Let God be true, but every man a liar. Who should I believe? Here's the answer. God. God. Who should I trust? Here's the answer. God. This preacher is saying this, and that preacher is saying that. Who is right? Here's the answer. Chalk every man up to being a liar in his flesh. You can, according to God, you can chalk every man up. That man in his flesh is a liar, and that man is the flesh in his flesh is a liar. Who is true and who is right? It's the one who will not give you his own word, but will only give you God's. It's the one who will not declare an opinion on these things, but will only declare these things and then leave it alone. Let God be true, but every man a liar. John said, try the spirits whether they are of God. How can we know if they're of God? They will only declare God's word. That's it. They won't add anything to it. They won't take anything from it. They will declare it in the context he has written it in. Every time the word faith comes up and the Lord Jesus Christ says to somebody, woman, thy faith has saved thee. They'll take you back to Ephesians 2:8 that says, faith is not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. They'll clarify. They'll preach the whole counsel of the Word of God. They won't add anything to it. They won't take anything from it. They'll declare it in the simplicity of how God wrote it. Our God wrote this. This is so important to know. Our God wrote this word right here so that a babe can understand it. God does not write with trickery. There was a time in my life when I was a child where I, you know, because I realized that people didn't really believe the truth, and the scripture says, broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many people are going that way. Straight and narrow is the gate that leads to life, and few there be that find it. I used to think, well, you know, the Lord must have written one thing. He must have said one thing, but meant another thing. That's not so. Our Lord doesn't write that way. He doesn't write with trickery. He's not trying to be secretive. He said this thing was not done in a corner. He writes exactly what he means to say. Where man struggles with it is, man doesn't like what he said. And man doesn't believe what he said. And man doesn't agree with what he said. So man tries to explain it away. Man will add to it. Man will take from it and try to appease the flesh, explain it away. When man does that, when a man does that, mark it down. He's a liar. When man says, well, I know that's what God said, but that's not really what God meant. If a man says that, you remember this, that's what the adversary said to Eve. I know that's what God said, but see, that's not what he meant. What he meant was, that's what the adversary did to Eve. If that's what God said, that's what God meant. And the only safe thing to do is to declare what he said and to believe what he said. Paul said, it's not grievous to repeat these things and repeat these things. He said, for you, it's safe. It's so safe. So Christ said, I am the truth. I am the truth, and everything else is a lie. Believe God. Believe the truth. If we need answers, get into the Word. If a man is telling you something and you can read it for yourself in God's actual Word, listen to that man. And this is important to know, too. You all need to know this. You know, this is a translation I talk about sometimes, that italicized words have been added by the translators, and sometimes they help and sometimes they don't. But the reality is, this is a God-controlled translation from the Hebrew and the Greek into our language. And man has taken this and they start translating it into every other, you know, version. It's not a translation. It's English to English, but it's just explaining away the truth, explaining away the truth. Let's hold Bibles that declare God's truth. And if a man is telling you something and you can read it in God's actual word, listen to that man and believe that man. But if a man is telling you something and you can't find it in God's word and you ask him to show you where it is and he can't do it because it's not in God's word, don't listen to that man. He's not telling the truth. Our Lord said, I am the way, I am the truth, and he said, I am the life. How can I know if I have been made alive by God? Turn with me to 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. Verse 1 says, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ. And that means so much. That means so much. That means God himself manifest in the flesh. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone that loveth him that begat, loveth him also that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments, hold to his word, cling to his word. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? And that means so much. The equal member of the Trinity of God. This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ. Not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. And there are three that bear witness in earth, the Spirit and the water and the blood, and these three agree in one. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater, for this is the witness of God which he hath testified of his Son. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. How can I know and have assurance that God has quickened me to eternal life? He has given me absolute, total faith in Christ. He has made it so that Christ is all I have before God. All I have. He has made it so that outside of Christ, I have nothing. Christ alone, it's Christ alone. Sinless living is not a believer's assurance. That's not where a believer's assurance comes from. How can I know if I'm a child of God? Well, here's how I can know. And this is an illustration. I'm not being truthful. All right. How can I know if I'm a child of God? It's here. I don't sin anymore. That's not so. I am sin. He is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. I am sin. That's what I am. And when men and women look to their flesh and they don't see sinlessness, and then they look to their flesh and they don't see sinlessness, and they look to their flesh and they don't see sinlessness, they become so distraught and so downcast. How can I know if I'm a child of God? Thank God it's not in seeing sinless living in ourselves. That's not where our assurance comes from. Faith in Christ. Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, I am what I am. But I'm looking to Him. And in Him, I see what I am by the grace of God. Verse 11 says, this life is in Him. This life, how can I know if I have this eternal life, this born again life? It's in Him. In Him we live and move and have our being. Paul told the Colossians, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with Him in glory. When He who is our life shall appear, we'll appear with Him in glory. So this is how we can know that God has quickened us to ourself. Our life won't be our life at all. When that question is asked, what gives you the right to enter into this kingdom? It won't be our anything. It won't be our anything. We will say, my hope, my life, my all is in somebody else. One man. Our life won't be our life at all. Our life will be Christ. He's my death. He who lives and believes in Christ is not going to die. It's appointed unto man once to die. And all those in Him did 2,000 years ago on a cross in Jerusalem. Paul said, I died in Him. I died with Him. He is my death. He's my burial. He's my resurrection. He's my life. Christ is my life. And all who have been made to be part of that eternal life, all of them will say with absolute confidence, He's the way. He's the truth, and He's the life. No man comes to the Father but by Him. Now, if God has put that resolve in you, let not your heart be troubled. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God. You believe in Christ. And if so, that means He went to prepare a place for you, that He may come again and receive you to Himself. So just wait for Him. Just rest and wait for Him. All right, Brother Eddie, you come.